This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. With Ramp, you get full visibility into your company's spending and control who spends what with each vendor. Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts instantly to save your team valuable time. Ramp automates data entry and routine tasks with automated approvals, expense categorization and bill payments, time-consuming tasks, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. Get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Economy in the world created nearly 16 million new jobs, a record. Wages are up. Inflation continues to come down. The racial wealth gap is the lowest it's been in 20 years. We're literally rebuilding our entire nation, urban, suburban, rural, and tribal communities. Manufacturing has come back to America. We're leading the world again in chips and science and innovation.
Manufacturing has come back to America. How come you don't hear too much about that? Manufacturing has come back to America. Now, didn't Donald Trump say that he brought manufacturing back? Was it Trump or Biden? Or did Trump bring back some and Biden brought back a little? You know, how did it go? I'm tired of this kind of rhetoric back and forth. And so when we think about some of the numbers that we presented before here in the Commonwealth, where the cost of living is astronomical, and we're not the only state, but we're right up there. We're up there with the Californias, with the New Jerseys, with the New Yorks. Florida's catching up to us. I can see why 21% of Bay State residents say within the next 5 years, they're out of here. They're leaving. They've had enough. And can you blame them? 508-996-0500. We can do a lot of blaming, and I can certainly sit here and point my finger right now. The right to shelter law. We have a slew of lawmakers who haven't budged on it. Or they may have sat down and had a meeting, smoked a cigar, had a steak dinner, whatever the case may be, over discussions, which probably amounted to nothing. But until we decide here, and I mean we the people, until we have the testicular fortitude, women, the mammary fortitude, whatever you want to label it, to say we've had enough, or to at least force a ballot question over this whole right to shelter, we're going to be going around in a perpetual circle. And I can say the same thing about the border. I can't see Congress really doing anything about it. We had a Republican Congress and a Republican Senate and a Republican president for a couple of years during Trump's administration. It only lasted 2 years because, quite frankly, people were tired of what the Republicans did or did not do. And they voted them out of the House. And pretty much they voted them out of the Senate, too. Although I think we had a tie at the beginning. So one part of me can see the Republicans in control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. Another part of me sees the Republicans holding on to the House, maybe gaining the Senate and losing the White House. And you're saying to yourself, well, Kamala Harris isn't that good of a candidate. Isn't that what we've been talking about? She's not a good candidate, but Donald Trump's not a good candidate. And so a lot of people are voting the lesser of two evils. I've had people call, if we like who we like, and they're trying to say that they like Donald Trump. Tell you something. If somebody mouthed the same words that Donald Trump is using, maybe not as bombastic as Donald Trump, you wouldn't vote for him. You'd vote for Donald Trump. You would vote for Donald Trump. So, what more can you really say about that? We are a country at odds with itself, which I think is okay to a certain extent. But nobody really wants to get to the crux of the matter. And we have certain politicians or wannabe politicians that are happy to step in and do what they would like to do. Case in point. Should we have a law here in the Commonwealth, so just here in Massachusetts, that jails people for saying something that is considered hateful? Hateful speech. There's this guy, Clinton Graham. He is running for state representative. And he asked his current state rep to file a bill. That bill is HD 4113, and it's titled An Act Prohibiting Hate Speech. Now, just to give you a little bit of a hint here, on numerous cases dealing with something similar to this, the Supreme Court has said, get this out of here. That's what the Supreme Court has stated. But it had to make its way up to the Supreme Court, and many times it could be a law right there. Let me give you an idea of what Clinton Graham is proposing. The term hate speech, and this is right from the bill, the term hate speech shall mean speech that carries no meaning other than the expression of hatred for some group, such as a particular race, color, religion, national origin, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability, in circumstances in which the communication is likely to or does provoke violence. So, right there at the end, does provoke violence. Now, that's one thing. There is violence going on. That could be assault. That could be assault and battery. But how do you determine that the communication is likely to provoke violence. So in other words, it didn't, but it's likely to. How's a judge, how's a jury supposed to weigh that? How's the prosecutor supposed to prosecute something like that? And you know what? You know, and I know, lawyers will figure out a way, as will lawyers for the defense figure out a way to come around something like that. This sounds like a great pay. I don't know this guy, Clinton, except for the fact that he is a school committee member in his local school district. But otherwise, I don't know him from Adam. I certainly don't like his bill. There's a part B to this. Whoever makes or circulates hate speech or causes hate speech to be made or circulated shall be punished by a fine of not less than $500, not less than $500, or by imprisonment in a jail or house of correction for not more than 1 year, or by both such fine and imprisonment. Are you kidding me? Here's a classic example. If a black person throws around the N-word, to another black person, and somebody who is not black overhears it, can that person decide, you know what? Maybe we should file a charge against him because that's going to provoke violence. A couple of women start using vernacular that is about female genitalia. And another woman happens to overhear it and is offended by that language. $500 fine is a possibility here. A year behind bars is a possibility here. Someone says a religious slang. Can somebody end up behind bars because they said a bad thing about a religion, whether you're Catholic, Jewish, Christian, Hindu? So again, this is how it reads. The term hate speech shall mean speech that carries no meaning other than the expression of hatred for some group, such as a particular race, color, religion, national origin, sexual orientation, gender, gender identity, or disability. So, could somebody say that rotten communist Chinese? Are we borderline there? Where do we go with this? I mean, I'm talking about it and I'm scratching my head because this really baffles me. I don't know about you, but it baffles the heck out of me and it scares me. It's probably not going to go anywhere now, but if this guy ever becomes a state rep, don't you think he's going to file the bill again and again and again? Hello.
Hey, Brian. This here, like what you're talking about, is actually happening in Canada as we speak. So it's not far-fetched. So basically, hate speech is what the government like consists at anything that criticizes the government or people in power, they're going to consider hate speech because it is happening in Canada. Everything that criticizes the government, podcasts and everything else, they're not allowed in Canada. And it's also happening in England. So it doesn't surprise me. So basically, who's ever in power is going to decide what's hate speech. So basically, that's just a way to end free speech. You know it, Brian. I know it. So one person's hate speech is another person's criticism of someone else. So that's what it's really about. It's about stopping criticism of anyone that's in power, any government at that time, and it could be right or left.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, what you're telling me this, if I'm hearing this, if I'm trying to petition a redress of government, and I use a word that talks about our government in a profane way, that could be considered...
Correct.
Really? Correct. That could be hate speech.
That's what they're shooting for. That's why. That's how they're going to squash any kind of like dissent from the opposite side. Oh, Brian, I just want to touch upon because you're a big guy like about numbers, and you're talking about the housing crisis and the immigration crisis. You know, I just read an article that the Commonwealth here, like in Massachusetts, each illegal alien is costing us $125,000.
Costing each taxpayer.
$125,000. What do you take?
So I want you to break that down. Is it costing the taxpayer that money, or is it each illegal person that's here is getting $125,000 worth of benefits?
No. Each illegal alien is costing the Commonwealth to house them, to feed them, to go through the lawyers, everything. Each one is costing us $125,000.
That's more than a lot of families.
Can you imagine if our senior citizens were making $125,000 in their retirement? Can you imagine how good that they can live and enjoy the fruits of their labor? But no, we're giving that to people who broke the law because, hey, that's the future voting bloc, is these old people are dying off. So who cares about that?
Well, those are the people that are going to end up moving into the houses and apartments that are going to be left vacant by the 20% of folks that are going to be leaving Massachusetts over the next 5 years.
There's also another story in the Boston Herald that broke Monday. They got very little play. I don't know if you talked about it, how by the Freedom of Information Act, if Massachusetts is trying to withhold information, but they're able to get some information, since this whole crisis, we have over 300 arrests in all these, as Howie Carr calls them, flop houses all across the state. The most egregious one that they caught was supposed rape of a 12-year-old from a Haitian. So instead of arresting him, they just moved him someplace else. It sounds like the Catholic...
Oh, because we've got the right to shelter law.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but what they're doing, and this is what they're doing like in the Commonwealth, is when they talk about the numbers of crime going down, you wouldn't believe how many people are not arrested.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it, but here's the story. I can't make this any more plain than I have. We've got the Bacon Hill lawmakers who are not going to change this. We have a governor who might hint at changing it, but the only reason why she's doing it is because she knows the legislature will balk at it. And worst case scenarios, because there's a law in the books, the courts will agree with the law that's on the books over the governor. So that's Rhode Island. We're here. Until we the people get up some type of ballot question to change that right to shelter, to change whether or not we are a sanctuary state, and that might go down in defeat, but until we do, we're never going to know. And the lawmakers, they're going to sit pretty because they know people are going to keep coming to them, looking for some type of handout, coming to them to try to get them to change a vote. We're going to be pandering. Is that what you want?
No, Brian, I agree with you. And I totally agree with you about the housing, it's right to shelter, because Rhode Island is not having this problem like we're having, because they don't have the right to shelter law. So immediately we could end this. We could drop this immediately. This could stop if they really wanted to stop. But they don't want it to stop because we're being replaced. That's what's happening. Can no one tell me different?
Gotcha.
See, it walks like a duck. It talks like a duck. It's a duck. We are being replaced. That's it.
It could be a dummy duck.
Yeah, it could be a dummy duck. But you know something? We have senior citizens. We have working people who are really going through some hard times. And we have people coming in this country who know very well they are breakers. As we speak right now, there's a 3,000 person caravan coming up here right now because they know if Trump becomes president, the border is going to be closed. So they're rushing up here, Brian. Another 3,000 that they're showing us, no matter everyone else that comes here legally through planes and everything else. And then their passport just expires, if their visa expires, and they don't go back. So this is a crisis. It is true. We cannot have a country if we don't have sovereignty. That's it. It's
gotcha. Simple. Hey, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. 508-996-0500 is how you get onto the program today. I see you there. We've got the news coming up. And before that, oh, yes, Monthly FeeRx brings you the quote of the day.
If you're spending less than $20 a month for prescription drugs, great. If not, then our monthly FeeRx service might be a good option for you. Check for yourself at monthlyfeerx.com.
And our quote today comes from Matt LeBlanc of Friends. Friends was an education in intelligent comedic banter, in intelligent vernacular. It was an education in scene study. It was an education in group dynamics. I came out of there with a master's degree in comedy.
President Biden says the time was right for him to bow out. A recovery milestone for a person injured in Trump's rally shooting. And Cher like you've never seen her before.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden addressed the nation Wednesday for the first time since his decision to drop out of the 2024 election. Biden said this is an important time.
I've made it clear that I believe America is at an inflection point. One of those rare moments in history when the decisions we make now will determine our fate of our nation and the world for decades to come.
While speaking from the Oval Office, the president said the best way forward for the country is to pass the torch to a new generation. He said now is the time for fresh and younger voices, as he endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris to be the Democratic nominee for president. Biden announced on Sunday that he would exit the race. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will meet today with Biden and Harris, although at separate times, following his address to a joint meeting of Congress yesterday. On Friday, the prime minister is scheduled to meet with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. One of the two people injured in the attempted assassination of former President Trump is being released from the hospital. Tammy Trujillo with the story.
On Wednesday, Allegheny Health announced David Dutch had recovered from his injuries and was discharged. Dutch was shot and wounded in the assassination attempt during Trump's campaign rally in Pennsylvania earlier this month. James Coppenhaver was also shot and injured, but he remains hospitalized in serious condition. Former fire chief Corey Comparatore lost his life in the shooting. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Residents in Northeast Ohio got a scare Wednesday after the emergency sirens went off at the local nuclear power plant. Authorities in the county say the sirens that started blaring yesterday morning were part of the emergency notification system for the Perry Nuclear Power Plant. They say a repair technician activated the system by accident. Cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike is promising to do better after a faulty software update caused a global computer outage last Friday. Mark Mayfield with more.
The outage affected Windows systems across multiple industries, including airlines, banks, and hospitals. The company now says it plans to improve software tests moving forward, adding additional layers of scrutiny to prevent this kind of thing from happening again. CEO George Kurtz has been called on to testify soon before Congress about the outage. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Oklahoma is releasing guidelines on how public schools should add the Bible to their lesson plans. The guidelines from State Superintendent Ryan Walters call for schools to provide a copy of the Bible as a resource in every classroom. The guidelines mandated last month require public school teachers to use the Bible as part of social studies. And Cher will give fans an inside look at her life with a new two-part memoir. The iconic pop star will release Cher the Memoir Part 1 on November 19th. HarperCollins publisher said the books find Cher revealing her true story in intimate detail with her trademark honesty and humor. Cher first teased she was working on her memoir back in 2017, and part two will be released next year.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox blown out by the Colorado Rockies 20-7 in their series finale yesterday. Boston back on the East Coast to host the New York Yankees. Three-game set starts tomorrow night at Fenway.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Dense fog out there. Take it easy on the roads. Give yourselves extra time. Visibility down to a quarter of a mile to half a mile. Cloudy, mid-70s this morning. For this afternoon, mostly cloudy skies, a slight chance for a shower or two, 81 overnight, clouds decrease. During the next few days, gorgeous weather is in store with sunny skies, temperatures around 80. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
You're listening to the Tim Meisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500.
Today, the violent crime rate is at a 50-year low. We're also securing our border. Border crossings are lower today than when the previous administration left office.
Still scratching my head over that one. Any thoughts? 508-996-0500. Another story that I brought up at the top of the hour, and it basically starts with the question, should we here in the Commonwealth have a law that actually jails people for saying something that is considered hate speech, hateful? There is a person by the name of Clinton Graham. He is running for state representative, open seat up in the outside of Boston, let's say, the Milton Holbrook area. And he asked his current state rep, who is now running for the state Senate, because that person is running for another government position. You know, see how this works? It's kind of like Congressman Keating, who was following the tales of William Delahunt. You know, there's, I'll do what you say, I'll do what you do, I'll take over your position when you're through. Anyway, the bill is called HD 4113, an act prohibiting hate speech. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that I like to do hate speech, that everybody should be able to do hate speech. Well, you should be able to, according to our Bill of Rights. You should be able to. However, is it the right thing to do? Well, maybe, you know, the heat of conversation, words blurt out. They shouldn't, but it happens. I've done it. Maybe you've done it. Under this proposed law, hate speech that's directed at someone because of their race or their color, their religion, their national origin, their sexual orientation, gender identity, and disability would qualify. So you qualify. What does it mean if you qualify? Well, it means you've got to watch what you say almost everywhere you go. Because you might not know somebody is of a particular religion. You might not know a person's sexual orientation. You may not know somebody's gender identity. So you got to watch it. Whereas our Constitution does give you the right to say whatever you want. Doesn't give you the right to hit anybody. But to say whatever you want, in particular about government, and to get a redress for grievances that government may be inflicting on you. This whole national origin, what happens if you don't know? Well, I think there's something about ignorance of the law. So if the law is on the books, you should know it. Have you ever tried reading some of the laws that are on the books? Very, very difficult. If you are found guilty of hateful speech directed at whomever or whatever, you could be fined no less than $500. No less than $500. You could spend a year behind bars. Is that too much? Too little? What's your thought? 508-996-0500. Thank you for your patience. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
What's going on?
Wingin'.
So, I know you were. I knew it. Something told me that you would be. So, what happens, go down the line with this hate speech thing, and we start including other speech, other directives or other directions. Can I be found guilty of hate speech if I hate Democrat or if I hate Republicans or if I hate liberals? If I speak ill of a Bernie Sanders and I call him a no good pinko commie, am I going to be fined $500 now? Because now I hate commies. I hate it, right? Now, am I guilty of this? No, where does
well, this according to, and I'm just gonna, I've got the text of the bill here.
Yeah.
It does not seem to go down that road, but it doesn't mean that it can't be amended.
Correct. Yeah, anything can be amended. Anybody can write any law as long as you're an elected official. And anybody can pass a law as long as you get enough support. We can actually change and abolish the entire Constitution if we really wanted to, right? I mean, all you have to do is get 2/3 of the states to agree with you.
Well, it is a process, but it anything right. is possible.
But this is my fear with hate speech. this whole idea that free speech is no longer free if you hurt somebody else's feelings, right? If I call a person a derogatory name, that's on me. Right. And I should bear the consequences of that action, whether it's losing a job because it's a private entity to a private person or it's a private person to a private person if I get beat up. But the government should have no role in this. The government should not be.
I think that there is actually written. There's a written Bill of Rights that says government. It says Congress. But if Congress can't, then The state legislatures cannot do, and city councils cannot do. Town councils they can't either.
Correct, because the Constitution supersedes all state laws.
Correct,
and that's the bottom line, right? That's
and
that's
not the only the, this is the one of those. This is one of the way it's written that says that you shall not make any law, as in lawmakers. So it's pretty specific, and it has been tested before, and it's gone down to the defeat. Now, that doesn't mean this one would if it ever made it that far. But your point, and a previous caller made a similar point, who knows how far this stretches? And I would look at it, why is this coming up at this particular time? And I look back, and this bill was actually filed April of last year.
Yep.
And it doesn't look like it's going anywhere, but it seems to be in line with a lot of the what if you say something derogatory about Israel? What if you say right. something or Zionist? Does that
right.
qualify?
Or Palestinian.
Well,
right.
I mean, national so if, origin if wouldn't that wouldn't that
exactly.
Yeah.
100%. If I say I hate Portuguese people because I think they're their food's too spicy. Now, am I going to be,
there's a possibility. Yeah, I would say, yeah, there's a possibility.
would this be a civil issue or a criminal issue? I think
when you are facing the possibility of a year in jail, that's not civil.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
$500 fine, and yeah, or a year at the House of Corrections or jail.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't hear that part in regards to the prison time. I just read the $500 fine, so that's what I was assuming. Yeah. It was a civil infraction. But this Brian, we have to really put a stop to this. Like, for instance, we saw in Washington D.C. yesterday all the degradation of the entire Capitol area. They're putting, you know, red dye in water and burning the American flag. As much as I hate to see it, that is their right to burn the flag. But when you start destroying other people's property or the government's property,
that's its own crime. That's a crime.
Yes,
that's a crime. Correct. Right there. Hey, thanks for the call. I do appreciate
it.
Right on point. You know, there is what you might say. That's okay, but what you do, well, that's an entirely different ballgame. If you're defacing somebody else's property, that is criminal. Do you think the president is stretching the truth there? In theory, we're not at war. We are supplying weaponry to Israel. And you can see the slaughter, no matter how you feel about it, you can see what they're doing in Gaza and what they're looking to perpetrate up in Lebanon. We are also throwing billions of dollars over toward Ukraine. We may not be fighting over there, but aren't we supporting that effort? No matter how you feel about Putin or the Russians, doesn't it? You know, we may not be fighting, but aren't we aiding and abetting? So I think the president is stretching it. I said it at the beginning of the show. I'm going to say it again. He, Kamala Harris, Donald Trump, I don't know much about J.D. Vance, but I'm going to put him in the same category. They're all a bunch of con artists. Maura Healey. You can bring it down even to the local level. They're a bunch of con artists. They perfect their trade each and every time they're delivering a speech. All right, let's hear from you. 508-996-0500. Hello.
Oh, yeah. Hey, morning. Hey, on a totally different topic, if is Trump trying to blame the Secret Service for that shooting, or is it really the Blackwaters that he had hired?
So I'm not paying attention to it, so fill me in.
Well, all the way back to when he, this is like 2015, 2016, when he became a candidate, the Secret Service had to start covering him. And so Trump Tower in New York City was so filled with mobsters, and there was a casino in there, and there was just all sorts of dirty stuff going on in there, that the Secret Service was kicked out. And Trump said, I'm going to have my own private boys do it. And it never really got to be a scandal, and Trump ended up getting elected. But to this day, he doesn't want the Secret Service because they will snitch on him. They have to. Actually, it was interesting because the FBI,
then if I'm hearing you correctly, if he doesn't want the Secret Service, did he have the Secret Service? I mean, the Secret Service has come out to state that they were protecting him. So what are you really getting at here?
Well, they had a shed down on the street. They had a mobile headquarters. This was at Trump Towers, 2015.
Okay, I'm talking about on Saturday the 13th, was it? Did he have, I mean, everybody seems to indicate that he had Secret Service protection on that day. The secret, even the director of the Secret Service was mentioning that he had protection that day. She didn't know what else to say. Are you trying to tell me he didn't have protection from the Secret Service?
He had some, but it was there. I think they're saying it was like 40% short, and so it was mostly local law enforcement.
Now, well, then, what does that have to do with Blackwater then?
Well, he has private coverage, and it's his dirty gang, and it. But there's like layers of this where he doesn't pay anybody. So after a while, he won't even pay his own security, and they won't bother.
Okay, but whatever. You were trying to say, is he trying to blame the CIA?
Oh yeah, sure. And actually, you know, he's scouting every angle that he can bill America for it, just like he billed us with Stormy Daniels. You know, he wrote it off on his taxes.
I hear. We're going all over the place with this. It must be Ruffles potato chips that we're leading in. 72 in Dartmouth, 71 in Rochester, 71 in New Bedford. Chris McCarthy after ABC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.